This is DW News live from Berlin. Is the European Union about to open a direct line of communication with Russia's President Vladimir Putin? Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel calls on the EU to begin talks with the Kremlin to address what she describes as Russia's many provocations against it. Also coming up, Hong Kong's last pro-democracy newspaper silenced. People line up to buy a copy of the final print edition of the Apple Daily. We'll find out what this means for the city's opposition movement. And a close shave for Germany at the Euro 2020 football tournament. The team does make it through to the last 16 in the end, but only after a tense 90 minutes against Hungary. I'm Sumi Somaskanda. It's good to have you with us. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has spoken out in favor of a summit between the European Union and Russia's President Vladimir Putin. EU leaders are due to consider the proposal at a summit in Brussels later today. Merkel says the talks must address what she says are Moscow's many provocations against the EU and its interests in Eastern Europe. Merkel made the proposal at a session of Parliament in Berlin. Let's hear what she had to say.
The events of the last few months, and not only in Germany, have clearly shown that it's not enough for us to react to Russia's numerous provocations in an uncoordinated way. Instead, we must create mechanisms to be able to respond to provocations together and in a unified way. Only then will we learn to counter Russia's hybrid attacks. In my view, we, the European Union, must seek direct contact with Russia and the Russian president. It's not enough for U.S. President Joe Biden to speak with the Russian president. I welcome that, but the European Union must also create formats for dialogue. Otherwise, conflicts will never be resolved.
Our chief political correspondent, Michaela Kufner, is with us in studio, and she was following Chancellor Merkel's speech to Parliament a little bit earlier. She was advocating direct talks with Russia from the European Union's side. How significant is that?
But it was put on the table together with French President Emmanuel Macron. A lot of countries aren't particularly in favour with that. Particularly the Balkan countries want a much, much tougher stance, and they very much welcome that Joe Biden is also the US president, is sending clear signals that there are limits to Russia's actions. At the same time, there was that summit between Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden, and this is the level of interaction that Angela Merkel and French President Emmanuel Macron are pushing for. And Merkel stressed that geographically, Europe simply can't escape Russia's presence, and that at the same time as there are still sanctions in place, there must also be dialogue in the future.
She touched on this because it was a priority for her. And we should say, Michaela, this was also her last regular speech in Parliament. It didn't really seem like it, did it?
Yes, well, she's not particularly keen on all of those goodbye moments because there's still quite a few to come. There already have been quite a few. And it seems like everybody else keeps waving goodbye to her and she refuses to do it. But there was a moment in the speech where she thanked Thomas de Maizière, the former defence and interior minister here in Germany, a close ally of hers, and singled out his work for NATO drafting a new strategic outlook there. That can be considered as a slight moment of goodbye. But on all the other issues, on dialogue with Russia, after all, she's gone a long political way with Russia's President Vladimir Putin over those past 16 years. Also on China, but also when it comes to talking to Turkey over migration, over potential second Turkey deal to limit migration to the EU, it's quite clear that she's still trying to make small steps forward, despite the fact that she might not have chapter headings of achievements on those issues.
Do you think those small steps forward are going to be a big part of her legacy?
Absolutely. She never stops trying. And when she was asked what she wants everybody to say about her in terms of legacy, she said, well, she doesn't want people to say that she was lazy. Well, she clearly isn't. And she's demonstrating this also by not making grand statements, but still keeping to the book, keeping to the work that needs to be done next. But of course, that has been criticism also throughout for her leadership, that she doesn't talk vision. She doesn't make this kind of big picture politics and sticks with the immediate crisis that needs solving. And of course, that is COVID-19 at this moment in time.
Well, she is headed to this EU summit, which could also be her last. What are the other big points on the agenda for her there?
What is tackling COVID-19? It's travel restrictions, but also the easing of travel. It was rather notable that she isn't particularly pleased with the idea that Spain and Portugal, those tourism-reliant countries, are much more liberal in letting in tourists from a pandemic, from mutation regions, particularly Britain. She didn't mention Britain, but that's what she clearly meant, while Germany is being more restrictive there. So I think there will be quite a bit of knocking heads together. And at the same time, she wants to unify Europe further, although nobody really believes that the EU will move past the unitary voting when it comes to foreign policy. At least she wants to forge a bit more unity there.
Our chief political editor, Michaela Kufner, thank you. Let's get a roundup of some other headlines now. Hundreds of unmarked graves have been found in the Canadian town of Marievo, Saskatchewan, near a former Catholic boarding school. It's the latest in a string of shocking discoveries at disused schools for First Nations children across the country. They've revived calls on the Catholic Church to apologize for its history of abuse of Indigenous children in Canada. Former Philippine President Benigno Aquino III has died. He was 61. Aquino served as leader from 2010 to 2016. He was the son of two of the country's biggest pro-democracy icons, and he was known as a thorn in the side of China. Aquino had been battling prolonged illness, including undergoing dialysis and heart surgery. Antivirus software pioneer John McAfee has been found dead in his jail cell in Spain. The discovery came shortly after a court approved his extradition to the United States, where he was wanted for tax evasion. A prison spokeswoman said he had apparently committed suicide. And pop star Britney Spears has told a Los Angeles judge that she wants the conservatorship of her estate revoked. The singer's father, Jamie Spears, has had control over finances and personal life for more than a decade now. Spears described this legal arrangement as abusive. A victim of tyranny. That was the defiant cover story of the last ever edition of the Apple Daily, as Hong Kong's final pro-democracy newspaper wrote its own obituary. It came just days after authorities moved to shut down the paper on national security grounds. People waited in long lines to try to secure one of the last copies. 1 million were printed, several times its normal circulation. The newspaper was known for its criticism of China's communist rulers. It said it had no choice but to cease operations after police froze its assets and arrested five top editors and executives last week. It is seen as another sign of China's tightening grip on the city. DW correspondent Phoebe Kong is standing by for us in Hong Kong with the latest on this story. Hi, Phoebe. Tell us more about this last edition of the Apple Daily.
Yes, basically, I'm holding the very last print edition of Apple Daily. On the front page, the headline says, Hong Kongers bid a painful farewell in rain. With pictures showing one of the staff of Apple Daily waving his cell phone with lights on, to hundreds of supporters gathering outside the headquarters last night during the last few hours. And a quote from the supporters saying, "We support Apple Daily." So it was a very sentimental night last night for the Hong Kongers and also its fellow readers and supporters farewelling the 26-year-old newspaper. And it also wrote a letter, a farewell letter to Hong Kongers with lots of the iconic front pages it has published throughout the decades that they have managed to publish a newspaper, and told the readers that they hope that everyone can carry on the spirit of Apple Daily despite its closure.
We saw the long lines of people waiting to get a copy of this last edition. I mean, tell us more about how people across Hong Kong have been reacting to this closure.
Well, since Apple Daily has have published its very last edition last night, we were there outside on the streets. Basically, people started to go out to find newspaper of Apple Daily since midnight last night. And even in the very early morning, 3 a.m., 4 p.m., there are already lines outside newspaper stores across Hong Kong. And it's very difficult for people to find just one copy of newspaper. And that reflects how people yearns for the very last opposition platform, a printed opposition platform for the opposition opinion. And Apolliti has long been a very iconic voices of criticizing the Chinese Communist Party, and critics really fear that this could be the very last mass media that could offer to the public to express their dissent. And it's also a very sentimental day for all the journalists in Hong Kong, because Apolliti has been a very signature in throughout the history of the journalist.
Okay, Phoebe Kong reporting for us there from Hong Kong. Thank you. To football now. In the Euro 2020, where Germany is through to the last 16, but just barely after surviving what was billed as a group of death. The roller coaster game had fans very much on the edge of their seats, with Germany on the verge of elimination. But Leon Goretzka sparked wild celebrations in the waning minutes of the match when he scored to secure a 2-2 draw, just good enough to advance to the knockout round against England. The historic rivals will face off in London on Tuesday. In the other game between title holders Portugal and world champions France, there was similar drama and the same result, 2-2 at the end. The hero here was Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored twice to spare Portugal the fate of going home early. Ronaldo now has equaled the men's international scoring record with 109 goals. He also extended his overall Euros record to 14 goals. And all this means that France finish on top of the group. They're followed by Germany in second and Portugal in third. All three teams are advancing to the last 16 of the tournament. Hungary are heading home. And we have Cress Harrington from DW Sports to talk about the Germany match, of course. Cress, yes. Germany really did just scrape through, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It doesn't really matter, you know, how you get there. What matters is you get there. But, you know, early in the match, it looked like Hungary had headed their way into the knockout stages. You know, in a long time, it felt like you were on a roller coaster that just went in a straight free fall for a moment if you're supporting the German side. And then after the break, Kai Havertz comes through, levels the score. You get a bit of joy, and then it gets sucked right out of you, because within a blink of an eye, Hungary, you know, they take the advantage once again. And then you see the first team get a bit tired, you know, lethargic and so forth on the pitch. Yogi Love makes the right call, subs in. Jamal Musiala was one key sub out of the two. 2 minutes later, beautiful Leon Goretzka, you know, scores, equalizes, thanks to a rebound, then gives the Hungary crowd the heart. You know, it was a beautiful game, and it leaves a smile on your face. And it was nice, because it wasn't too long ago Germany didn't make it out of the group stage. That was the World Cup in 2018.
Still, why did this team have such a hard time with Hungary?
Well, you know, when you look at the group in itself, everywhere you look, there's a winner. You know, you have Fast and Furious France, World Cup, you know, the cup holders in Portugal, and then Hungary, just hungry to show they can punch with the big boys. The national team coach, Joachim Love, Yogi Love, I should say, called it one of the toughest matches he's dealt with. You know, when you looked at the match, Hungary, you know, really loaded their box defensively, made it very difficult for Germany to find opportunities. He had a bit more to say about the matchup and about the group and about the future. Here's Yogi Love.
It was clear that we faced a lot of resistance in the group. It was perhaps the most difficult group in terms of opponents. We now have second place. We're going to England. That was great news too, of course, in London, to play against England at Wembley.
Chris, we heard it there, Germany against England in London. Your thoughts on that match?
Well, you know, it'll be an electric crowd, of course. The matchup on paper, you know, when you look at the recent matchups between Germany and England, they have a few friendlies. Those really don't count. The last major tournament they played in was over a decade ago. And the player that was recalled on Germany's national team, Thomas Müller, over a decade ago, scored a brace in the 2010 World Cup. And I expect him, along with Joshua Kimmich and others, to bring that electricity. They got out of the most difficult part. You know, when you get out of the group of death, it toughens your skin. It makes you thick. You know, so we have to see what England can bring to the pitch. They will have the home fan support, of course, a lot, I'm sure, on their side. But the tail of the tape, I give Germany the slight advantage. The goal production really hasn't been there for England. And hopefully Germany get it done and do their best to give Yogi Love a good farewell.
It's going to be a matchup to look forward to. Cress Harrington from DW Sports, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we just have time for a reminder of our top story now. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel has called on the European Union to open direct talks with Russia's President Vladimir Putin. If the suggestion is taken up, it would mark a change in strategy for Brussels, whose ties with Moscow are strained. Coming up, can the information you share on the internet help computers predict how you will vote? That's in our documentary series, Doc Film, looking at the role of artificial intelligence in elections. Stay tuned.